Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
As many of you know, we've been in this series that His presence, as in His presence here, brought presence. When He came to this earth, it brought lots of good things with Him. And that's what this whole series has been about, just celebrating who He is, who His character is. And I find in my own life that time and time again, I get caught up when I start to think about where I fail, where I fall short. But the moment that I can take my eyes off of me and focus on God and who He is, what He has done, what He is capable of, my circumstances seem to disappear. They get so much smaller. They become less of the focus in my life. And I can do the things that God has actually called me to do. So I would encourage you, if you're in a place where your circumstances seem overwhelming, seem to swallow you up, don't put your focus on the circumstances. Put your focus on the God who is so able, just like that spoken word says, He came and He is so able. I'd like to say welcome, Merry Christmas to everyone. It's been so good to be here with family this last week. As many of you know, because you've probably tried to call the church, the offices have been closed. It was a good break for myself, and I know that Pastor Todd and Pastor Craig have also enjoyed just a quick breather in the middle of this series. And it was just, it was a lot of fun to put all of this together, to work as a pastoral team, to do the decorations and talk about, okay, what do we want to do this Christmas season? Where do we feel like God is leading us? And we're excited to be wrapping it up. You guys need to be getting revved up and excited for next Sunday, because we are going to start this new year with a bang. We are so excited for this next series. I won't ruin it for you because I want it to be a surprise, but be here next Sunday, ready to go, ready to receive what God has for Casper Faith in 2016. It's going to be great. Like I said, we're going to be wrapping up today this series by talking about the Prince of Peace. And if this is your first time in church or your first time in a long time, I'd just like to say, just relax. It's going to be fine. We're not going to point you out, have you stand up, come up to the front, any of those kinds of things. We don't want anything from you, but we do want something for you. We want you to know the peace that comes from making peace with your Heavenly Father. And that ultimately is my goal for today, that we would all come to a greater understanding of His peace in our lives. And whether that means that you come to know His peace for the first time, and that means in an eternal sense, maybe you come back to know Him, come into relationship with Him for the first time, we want you to know that peace. But we also want everyone here to experience peace in our own lives. It's such a busy, crazy season. I know that this Christmas was crazy for me. Here at the church, trying to get ready for everything, doing stuff with the youth. It was a really, really busy season. So it's so good to know that there is a God who loves me and cares about me and is peace through my circumstances. So I'm going to start today off with a story, and I love the story because I love art. I've never taken an art class in my entire life. I cannot draw to save my life. Like, literally, if there was a time in my life when someone threatened me and said, you know, you're not going to make it out of this situation unless you can draw a picture, I would be done. I would be done. I cannot draw or paint or do anything like that to save my life. I'm not good at it, but I do have an appreciation for it. So there was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for peaceful, towering mountains were all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought that it was a perfect picture, this depiction of what peace is. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There, in the midst of the rush of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest, perfect peace. So which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, or no hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all of those things and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. And for me, that really translates to my life. I love that because, you know, like I said, our culture, the jobs that we have, our families, we're busy. There's so many things going on right now in the United States of America. It is a turbulent time. So outside of just what I'm dealing with personally in my life, there's all this stuff happening all over the world that creates this sense of chaos. And I love this because it means that in the midst of that, that I can still be founded on something. I can still have my feet somewhere that's concrete, that doesn't shake no matter what else I might be facing. So like I said, we're going to be talking about peace, and more specifically, that as the Prince of Peace, he brings calm to our chaos. So what I want you to do today, and those are the first... Blanks in your sermon insert. If you're following along, I'd encourage you to take notes. But I want you to kind of throw out any kind of preconceived idea of what peace is. Not that you have bad definitions or anything like that, but I want to start with a blank canvas because oftentimes we get hung up on this idea of peace. We're waiting for a feeling of peace. I want to feel peaceful. I want everything in my life to just calm down, to just go away. But the reality of it is God's definition of peace is much different than that. It's much like that bird in its nest in the midst of all of that craziness. God wants us to know how to survive and thrive and be full of peace and calm on the inside. Because for goodness sake, it's not going to calm down anytime soon. You know, our world is only getting more and more turbulent. So I want to know, God, how can I not just survive, just get through it, but how can I continue to live a life that is full of love, full of peace, full of joy in the middle of this crazy time that we are living in history? Now, whenever I prepare a message, there's always this little thing in the back of my mind that says I have to come up with something fresh, something cool. You know, I'm the new guy, I'm the young guy on staff, so I have to come up with something that's, you know, that's really unique and that's going to leave an impact on people. And I really wrestled with this week because when I was praying and seeking God about, God, what do you want to say through this? It was just simple. Like I said, Prince of Peace, he brings calm to the chaos. Like, that's something I've heard my whole life. I'm like, God, like, can I come up with, you know, maybe write another spoken word, do something cool, you know, like, that just seems so like something I've heard a million times. It's not something new, but as I continued to pray, that was just the thing that resounded. We need to be reminded, Josh, that in the midst of the chaos, there is calm. So what I have for you today is just a really practical message. So the trouble with practical and simple messages is that we come face to face with this temptation to let it come in one ear and go out the other. Yeah, Isaiah 9:6, it's the fourth week of this. I know, he's the Prince of Peace. All right, I'm going to check my Facebook. I'm going to see what's going on in my friends' lives, blah, blah, blah. I don't want you to do that today. I want you to take this simple message, and I want it to pierce your hearts. I want you to think about, okay, how does this really apply to my life? How does this look when the rubber meets the road? How does this look tomorrow on Monday morning when I go back to work after this crazy Christmas season? And I know that if we come to this message, we come to this idea with that perspective, that God is going to speak things to you. God is going to challenge you. He's going to bring calm to your storms. It doesn't take rocket science to realize our need for his peace. In a time in history where mass shootings are a part of our daily news, when divorce, broken families, and non-monogamous marriages are a huge part of our culture, when the middle class is fading, when the oil industry is tanking, we need a simple message of hope and peace. A simple message of how to actively and practically apply peace in the midst of chaos. So I want to challenge you this morning, like I said, let's be a people that apply this word, not just hear it. Let's be doers of the word today. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for today, that we can come together as a family. God, that you bring community. You set the lonely in families, God, that we are that picture of family today, God. People coming from all different walks of life together in one place to celebrate you, to seek you. God, I thank you for that community. God, I pray that as we talk about peace, God, you know there are so many different people in this room that have turbulent situations in their lives. They're going into work this week with chaos. They're having issues in their families. God, there are financial stresses on them. God, I just pray that today, God, that you would show them what it looks like to have peace in the middle of those circumstances. God, I pray that your word today would fall on good ground. God, that we would be receptive to what you want to say. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do what only you can do today and speak to our hearts. We love you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. All right, so Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I love this idea of him being a Prince of Peace, because it really helps me to truly acknowledge God as all-powerful and all-deserving. When I can begin to, and I can only just begin this process, but when I can start to wrap my mind around just how powerful, just how big God is, like I said earlier, my circumstances, the way I feel about things, it kind of starts to shrink. And I can really depend on, God, I can't fix this in my life, but you are royalty over peace. So I can depend on you. I can count on you to come through for me. Prince is a royal title. It means he's royally over and of peace. He is over any situation, and he is the opposite of chaos and confusion. There is nothing that can come up in our lives that he doesn't and can't take care of. Nothing too big for him to do. With a few words, he can calm a storm or silence any evil spirit. His power as peace trumps any other force or voice in my life. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to John 16:32 and 33, and we have it up on the screens for you as well. And it says, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So my first point today is that he is peace in our situation. This whole idea of God's presence, Emmanuel, Jesus came to earth to be with us. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to this earth to be with us. He promises his presence no matter what we might be coming up against. In Isaiah 54:10, says, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed from you, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." For me, the worst things in life are when I've had to go through things alone. Last February, I've talked about it many times, even from this pulpit, I tore my ACL last November, in a show, in a theatrical production, and I had the surgery late February. And it in itself, with modern technology, medicine, it's an amazing thing what they were able to do with my knee in a matter of hours. So I was so thankful that I was able to have this thing. But the hardest part about the whole situation was that I was out in California by myself. And of course, I have an extremely supportive family that was praying for me and making sure that I was taken care of. And I had some friends there that really helped take care of me as well in the coming weeks after that when I couldn't get around well. But the hardest aspect of that was just being out there alone. I just didn't have a lot of people there that I could really, really depend on. And I think that that's something that translates to all of us. If we know that there's going to be people with us to go through it, it makes it a world of a difference. Knowing that we're not alone in something is the difference. And even for Jesus, I love that in verse 32, it says, turn back page. It says, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. I love that he acknowledges that he knew that he wasn't alone in the situation. You can see the aspect of humanness in his life that he was like, man, this is going to be really hard to go through. But I know that I'm not alone. I have God with me. And I love that because that really speaks to me because sometimes I need to know that God is with me. He doesn't say that the course of our lives will be easy by any means. And I'm referencing back to Isaiah 54:10. He doesn't say that our lives will be easy, that life will be a bed of roses. But he does promise us peace because of him. His presence in our lives is one of the many things that can help us to experience peace in our circumstances. Just like we've been talking about through the sermon series on his presence in our lives and his hand on our hearts brings us peace through even the most impossible situation. And I love that Jesus he's not interested in just a quick fix for our lives, but that he is about process. He wants us to know him and experience relationship with him. If he were just to grant us our every beck and call without any relationship, our lives and ability to experience Jesus' presence would be severely flawed. He cares more about us and our hearts than to just solve all of our problems right away, which is kind of a hard thing to grasp because God is a provider. He is a healer. He heals our physical disabilities. He heals our emotions. He provides money for us. He provides food. But sometimes God is more concerned about our hearts and our character. When he could instantly heal us, he could instantly provide the funds, but he wants to develop an ongoing, trusting relationship with us. So that's what this is all about. This is about that he promises his presence. Yes, he promises to get us through things. Yes, he promises to be there, you know, and he does things. He changes our circumstances oftentimes. But sometimes he wants us to experience the hardship, to know his presence in the middle of our darkest times. The great part of all of this is that he promises himself, even in the hardship, even in the most hurtful situations, heartbreak, tragedy, financial difficulty, loss, stress, or whatever we might be facing. And even more than that, he doesn't just leave us there. Because his presence and peace brings us through the storms, which brings me to my second part, that he is peace through our situation. That's your second fill-in down the page. He's peace in our situation. He wants us to know that he's there with us in those dark times. But more than that, he is peace through the whole process. He promises not to leave us to our own devices. His peace can calm, change, and alter our lives and bring us through the very things we needed him in the first place. In simpler terms, he promises to bring peace into our situations and to bring us through it. Thus, we will know his presence and relationship and also know his sovereignty, power, and love. He is the calm in the midst of the storm. in the many stories of Jesus calming storms, because he does, there are several biblical references of an actual physical storm that he calmed. He was always there, even in the chaos. He is not an absent God, but one that actually dwells with us in the worst and beckons us on to victory. In Mark 4, 35 through 41 is an account of one of these stories. It says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" And I love this because we see both sides of the story. We see Jesus in his present state. It says at the beginning of this passage that they took him with them just as he was. There was like no extra preparation he needed. He was just like, "Yeah, let's go. Hop in the boat. We're going to cross this thing." Falls asleep. You know, he's just totally relaxed. Then all of a sudden there's this, you know, hurricane, crazy storm that comes up and they're all worried for their lives. And he goes, "Not a problem. Snap. Peace, be still." And the whole thing just suffices. Complete calm. Micah 5:5 says, "And he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us." And that brings me to my last, the third point, in that Jesus says, and through his proclamations, and I have several scriptures for you as well, that peace is a promise. It's something that we can count on. In Psalms 29:11, it says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." In Psalms 85:8, it says, "I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints." So if peace is something that we can count on, how come it sometimes seems like the complete opposite in our lives? Where does it translate from this thing that God says? And this is just 2 references. When I was looking up scripture and passages on peace, there are countless passages when God references, "You're going to have peace. You're going to have peace through your circumstances, through what's going on in your lives. I promise my presence, you're going to be okay." So why sometimes does it feel like the complete opposite? Even in my own life, I really struggle with this because I'm a really high-strung person. I'm always highly caffeinated, and I'm really stressed out usually. I'm like, what does this look like in my own life? How do I translate it from this thing that I believe about God to really fleshing itself out in my everyday? How do I change my stress, worry, fear, conflict in my life into peace? And that brings me to the last aspect of this, that peace comes from trust. Peace comes as a result of the Holy Spirit producing it in our lives. One of the greatest things I've learned about in regards to my relationship with God is that I myself cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. I try really hard to love people more. I try to be kinder. I try to be gentle. I try to be full of those things. But the reality of it is like, I'm just a man. My nature is not to be those things. I'm fallen. I am in a fallen state, even in this moment. I'm less than the way that God intended us to be. So in order to get those things that I want so desperately, it requires me to ask the Holy Spirit for them. It's not called the fruit of Josh. And the fruit of Josh is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It doesn't say that. It says the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And I heard a sermon, I remember, back in May at Rock Harbor Assembly. It's a church in Newport that I was going to. And it changed my life because I was dealing with some sin issues in my life. And I was like, God, I just can't get out of this circle. I just keep going the same thing over and over and over. And he talked about self-control that day. And he said, you know, you and your own ability, you can't do it. But the moment you start to ask the Holy Spirit for it, would you produce this fruit in my life? Because I fall so short of it, was when I started being able to overcome these hurdles in my life. The Holy Spirit is the one who produces peace. That's on the list, the fruit of the Spirit, peace. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. I'm going to say that again because you guys aren't getting it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace does not come from our own ability to create it, to feel it, to stir it up. Peace comes from our ability to count on him for it. And it comes from letting ourselves have a new understanding of what that peace really is. Like I said earlier, let's let this day be a redefinition. It means to have an understanding and trust that in the middle of craziness, that God is still in control and complete and total control. That he loves you and that he is a God who wants and knows what's best and who will not leave us on our own. This means that even beyond my own understanding, God talks about that, I'll finish with that verse, that beyond my own understanding that God is moving, he's doing things, he is working. So we need to ask for it. And in just a few minutes, we're going to respond to God and we're going to ask for peace in our circumstances. But we have to ask for it. We have to use our own will, our own ability to communicate and ask God, God, I don't have this in my life. My life feels like the complete opposite of what your word says that peace is. God, would you produce it in my life? Because I know that when I go back to work, everything might still be the same. That my family might be just as dysfunctional this next weekend as it was this. I know that my finances might not change overnight. But God, I want to have peace through that. What does that look like? Produce it in my life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.